Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Oh, 40 episodes later, guys. Holy shit, here we are, guys. Episode 40 of YWC Football Talk. Phil Nightmare 10 once again is back with me. But for the first time ever, for episode 40, you know, I had to go special. I had to go all and grab someone who's never been on here before. But Danny, Dan Goes Ham, dedicated lifelong Jets fans on the show. So, boys, we got a lot to uncover today because I'm going to let Danny air his grievances out. We're going to talk a little week 10, maybe some fantasy football. We were supposed to be having Big Rat on, which I got to get an episode one time with like the four of us on. But how we feeling tonight, boys?
The Pats are back, baby! Hey, all I'm gonna say is I understand like the little tiny podcast we had last time last week after the beating the Jets. I said this team's going in the right direction, and when I have a feeling, I just have a feeling, and I said in that, I mean, I think I said it, that I had a feeling that we might blow out the Ravens, but. That obviously didn't happen. But.
What's going on? Danny, nice to meet everyone. Pleasure to be on the podcast for the first time ever. And look forward to getting some talking with Phil and Griff.
Sounds good. Because, like, last week, though, like, Phil, I know you said the Pats are back. I honestly went into that game last night with zero fucking confidence just because I'm like, look, the Jets just hung 27 on us. We made Joe Flacco look like 2012 Joe Flacco. And... man, like, the Jets are an interesting team because, like, I know, Danny, you obviously your team to go 0-16. You guys want Trevor Lawrence, but I'm going to say this right now. I think if you guys win a game this season, it's Sunday because the Chargers just find a new way to lose every single week.
You know what? That one does scare me a lot. The thing is, traditionally with the Jets, when they go to the West Coast, they just fall flat. They don't come off that plane. You know what I'm saying? So I am a little bit worried, but the Chargers have been a good team. They're just not finishing at the end of the game. So I think this is a get-right game for the Chargers. Flacco will be starting. Sam Darnold's still not back. So I think the Chargers handle business here, as they should.
Danny, one thing I want to ask you about that, since you just kind of mentioned Darnold not being back. So with Darnold being hurt, do you still think you take Trevor Lawrence at this point?
Oh, absolutely. Even if Darnold was healthy,
I agree. That's how I feel. I'm just asking. Absolutely. Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, I feel like you feel the same way. But I mean, that's an interesting dynamic because, I mean, do you trade Darnold or do you have him? Like,
all right. So since we're gonna jump into the Jets real quick, Sam Darnold, as you know, Phil, I've been bullish on the guy. You know, the whole time, very excited. You know, I really thought he'd come out have a big year. That didn't happen, and you know, a lot of people want to blame, you know, the weapons and the O-line around Darnold, but I watch these games every Sunday, you know. It's the problem is more than that. It is Sam Darnold. You know, he's holding on to the ball way too long. He's still making these terrible decisions, you know, trying to fit balls into windows that aren't there. You know, he'll still have those 1 to 2 plays a game where you're like, wow, you know, this guy really has something. But year three, you gotta fix these mistakes, man. And you know, his best season was his rookie season, and ever since then he's just taken steps backwards. So my problem with Darnold is he's in year three going into year four. His rookie contract is gonna be, you know, having to be re upped on, and you still don't have an answer as if, you know, he's the guy. So if you're sitting at number one with a generational talent as Trevor Lawrence is, you know, the best quarterback to come out since Andrew Luck, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer, man.
That's a fact. That's a fact. You know, that's not an opinion. Yeah.
You just have to pull the trigger there. And, you know, Sam Darnold wasn't drafted by Joe Douglas. You know, he was drafted by Mike Maccagnan. So he doesn't have any ties there. So I think you just wait to have a clean slate, you know, get Lawrence in here and just build the team through the draft. You know, don't go out, overspend on free agent and stuff like that.
Is Darnold a free agent?
Darnold is on. He's going into year four, so.
Okay.
So, trade value wise, you know, I'm. If you can get a second rounder for Darnold right now, which I think you could, I think you're all in on that. Now, if the Jets do win a game and they don't have the option to pick up Trevor Lawrence, you know, you start looking at Justin Fields. do you really think he's going to be an answer? Is he going to be better than Sam Darnold? I don't know. I like Justin Fields, but I just want to see how the rest of the college season plays out as far as
that. Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I don't know. That is. Like, Justin Fields feels like he needs to be on a team. Like, the Jets really need to add some pieces. I mean, they have pieces. I'm not saying they don't, but I don't know. Trevor Lawrence can come in and just make everything great. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I don't think Justin Fields is quite that guy. Mel Kiper might disagree with me, but, I mean, you know, something to analyze later. But
yeah, a lot of people are really bullish on Justin Fields. They think he's, you know, a great consolation prize to Trevor Lawrence. I'm not there yet, but, you know, I'm just praying and I'm hoping to go 0-16 or the Jaguars win another game.
And to be fair, I just feel like I think it's the fact that Ohio State quarterbacks have just not, they've always looked good in college and then just not look good in the pros. So
same thing with USC quarterbacks, man. Yep. And look at Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing with them is, like, argument is that, like, Sam Darnold and guys like that need to go into a system that just literally just plug him in and he's good. Like, he can't be, like, a building process. Right? Like, he needs to be able to, you know.
I definitely agree with that, and the Jets definitely did ruin Sam Darnold and his development. You know, he, in rookie year one, you know, you're going to buy stock in Sam Darnold. You think he's going to turn the corner. Everyone did, you know. But
I think you can say the same thing about Daniel Jones too. Like, Daniel Jones is kind of that, like, he just went into a horrible team. So it's like now that the team's being built more around him and they can, you know, he seems to be doing better. And then of course turnovers and stuff like that. But
the turnovers with him is what kills him. With Sam, you know, if he were somehow the quarterback next year for the Jets, I wouldn't hate it, but it's just got to fall into the scenario where, you know, you missed out on Lawrence and you just weren't all in on Fields, which I would be okay with. You know what I'm saying?
How do you do tiebreakers for the draft like that?
So it's gonna go on strength of schedule. So right now, if we win a game, the Jaguars have the number one pick. So we literally cannot win a game. And I don't know if Jacksonville is winning another game this season.
Just depends on if they want to, I guess.
they want Trevor just as bad as we do, you know?
They kind of did the same thing, though. Like, well, the thing is, too, is, like, you can almost, I mean, I guess you can call it tanking, I guess. But, like, some of these teams are, like, holding strong with other teams. But then they're like, oh, all right, we saw what we can do. Let's back up.
that's a classic case of what the Jets did against the Patriots. Yeah. Classic case.
Which is what I would, I mean, I think that's, like, I mean, that's not smart to lose on purpose. I get that. But, like, I mean, at this point, the Jets don't, I mean, like, maybe after you lose, like, as much as the Jets, then at this point, you can just see what you have and then back off and be like, we're good. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Or if we don't win, it's great, you know.
That was single-handedly the best loss, Jets loss, I've ever witnessed in my life. Because I was fully convinced they were winning that game. The Patriots did not look good for three quarters at all. And, you know, you guys, and from there, you guys actually shifted momentum carrying over to that Ravens game last night as well, man.
I mean, weather helped a lot, but I don't know, man. I just felt like the Ravens had showed some stuff the last couple weeks, too, and I'm like, we're peaking. It seemed like they're kind of plateauing, so it's like, I think we played them at the right time.
The one thing I got to say quickly with last week's game is I felt like a shift in power for when some reason Joe Flacco ran that play-action pass when all they had to do was, like, start to run out the clock with, like, I think it was, like, less than 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, why are you trying to go for a long ball when you're trying to close out a game? The only other thing I want to say, too, is obviously your coaching situation is not the best or most ideal right now with Gase, but do you agree that keeping on to him for the season is ideal? Because your next best option is Greg Williams, and I don't think even you want to see him as head coach, right, Danny?
Yeah, wow. I didn't even talk about Gase there. You have to hang on to Gase right now. He gives you the best chance to lose. You know, you get rid of him.
What a quote. Honestly, gives you the best chance to lose. You're not wrong, though.
100%. And, like I said, you go next year full clean slate. You know, if I'm next year, I know this organization, you know, and I don't 100% agree with this move, but Woody Johnson coming back and not knowing how bad he wanted Jim Harbaugh, he's going to go after Jim Harbaugh. Very, 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 he's going to pursue him hard. But if I was making the call, I'm taking a very, very long look at Joe Brady from the Carolina Panthers, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he leaves that soon, though. But
Listen, it's better to be 1 year ahead than 1 year behind. That's all I'm going to say with that.
That's true. I'm not saying that the Jets shouldn't go after him. I agree with that part.
No, I don't think they will either. But if I was making that call, that would be my guy.
Well, also, I don't think it's bad that the Jets are going after him. I'm saying I just don't think he would leave the Carolina that fast. Like,
I think you would have to take a head coaching job. With Trevor Lawrence, I think coaches would line up for that 7 days a week.
This whole thing, like, I don't know. I haven't heard it. If people think that Dabo's leaving with Trevor Lawrence, it's not happening.
No,
that's not happening.
I agree with that as well.
That's like all the people that were saying, "Oh, Dabo's going to leave to go coach Deshaun Watson in Houston too."
It's not happening.
That's a
Dabo's. I'd be legit shocked because I just, from all the people that I have in my circles and stuff like that, that I talk to that are really hardcore Clemson fans. Obviously, I hate Clemson, but I know them enough. You know, it's like that. I don't hear Dabo's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that Clemson quarterback looked good against Notre Dame. I know they lost the game, but top recruit.
Yes.
He's gonna be coaching him.
Uangalele, I think is his name. They're already saying he's probably gonna be the first pick 2023.
Hey man, Clemson's a factory.
Clemson's once you start winning championships, you get all the good players. So
yeah, clearly
they're Bama 2, or Bama 1A, or B, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Both of them are getting, that's, you know.
Until Tua, I would also say, Phil, you know, you're saying USC and, what was the other school? Ohio State haven't really produced many quarterbacks in the NFL. I'd almost make the same case up until Tua that Alabama's been like that, to be honest. Because, like, if you look at all their quarterbacks who won in college, none of them really panned out in the NFL.
Yeah, but they weren't really top prospects either, though.
True. It was just something I noticed.
Yeah, I'm just talking about top prospect. Like, you got, you know, Carl Jones was, well, I guess Carl Jones wasn't really a top prospect. But,
neither was Dwayne Haskins, really.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins. Haskins was more than Jones was. But it just seems like the only one I can think of, too, is Troy Smith was apparently, like, and then he ended up being a receiver, basically.
Yeah.
But there was just a bunch of people that looked good. Now, Justin Fields is actually projected to be high. Like, that's...
I'm seeing a lot of Mac Jones in like the second, third round in some of these mocks, though. So I mean, this might be a little, they haven't had a quarterback in a while, obviously, to get drafted high, but except for Tua. But you know, they're building a little bit of momentum there on that.
The other quarterback, I don't know how players our teams don't look at is Trask from Florida. Like, the kid's playing lights out right now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The other game I want to get into quickly before Phil and I talk about the Patriots game yesterday is not even the game. Can we all just agree that the Houston Texans, and Bill O'Brien more specifically, is probably one of the dumbest people on the face of this planet? Like, it's...
Hands down.
I literally just can't stop thinking about that. Like, how... And also, too, I looked at the trade today. Arizona didn't even give him a first to get him. They gave up a second and a fourth. Like, it's just it's not even, like, shocked. It's like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm going to use an obscure word. Just like, I literally remember I was watching, because my sister's a Saints fan, I was watching the game with her yesterday, the Saints Niners, and I look at the timer, I see like 20 seconds left in Buffalo, Arizona, and it's like a 2-point game, or whatever. I don't remember the exact scoreline at the time. I think it was, no, it was a 4-point game. Buffalo was winning. And then I was just like, hey, can I go to this game quickly? As soon as I flipped to it, Hopkins made the catch. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah, my
the only thing I think of is they're like, I don't know. I just can't imagine that toxic. But for some receivers are very diva. That's like the diva position. So I don't know. Maybe he was that toxic. I mean, all I can say is I hope he was like extremely toxic. That's all for Bill O'Brien's sake. But you're never gonna win that argument anyway. So
yeah, that was a flat out terrible trade.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for Texans fans because that franchise has set back so many years. They have no first round pick this year. They're probably gonna be drafting in the top five, which Miami will be taking, and they're already a good team. So they're just gonna add to that team.
JJ Watt might be gone.
JJ Watt is gone. I'm forcing my way out of that organization as quick as I can. You know,
that's the thing. Like, he just signed a massive deal. So it's like, I mean, you trade him, you have to give, like, that's the only thing you can really do. And like, who's gonna?
Yeah, it might be a dead cat, but they have to regroup draft picks now because they're going nowhere fast and they're not going to be going anywhere for a while.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with that. 100%. And DeAndre Hopkins, just to talk about him, is unbelievable. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, I'll say Hail Mary, I mean, it's like, you know, but still. the catch of the way he did, that was insane. Yeah, the way he had Hopkins, because that's a Bills loss, and we need it. So,
hey, man, I had Cardinals money line yesterday, so.
Yeah, he's just happy about winning your bets. But, no, like, when you look at the Houston Texans, and, like, Phil, we have to pay close attention to, like, because obviously that's the opponent Sunday, but, oh. Like, I just, like, as soon as that happened, and then they fired their PR person on Wednesday. Apparently, did you ever know, Phil or Danny, did you ever hear why they fired her, though, or no?
It was the female, right?
Yeah, because apparently,
that was around for a while?
No, yeah, because apparently she's a very vocal Biden supporter.
No way.
No, yeah. Wow.
That's the big rumor coming out of that was that, and like, apparently, too, like, the old owner who passed, Bob McNair, was like, super Republican Texan and everything like that. So I think a lot of the organization, so it kind of shows you, hey,
that makes sense, yeah.
The whole thing about keeping your political views to yourself is one thing that really kind of was outspoken in that. Because, like, that's not, like, oh, her fault, because apparently she's one of the best and nicest PR people in the league. But, like, when you have a situation like that where you're firing someone over political views, I'm sorry, that's an organizational problem.
That seems like that should be illegal. Did they actually say that was the reason, or they're like,
it's a rumor? That's just
they can't say that's the reason.
Yeah, there's no way they can say.
I'm sure it is the reason, though. You know, I don't deny
that. I'm just saying, like, there's no way they're like, they're probably denying that because there's no way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like when what was the example? It's kind of like when you see a coach's firing coming, and like when it happens, you're supposed to act shocked. Like, I remember, and Danny, you'll probably remember this game, but do you remember 2 years ago when it was Todd Bowles' final game, Jets-Patriots, and, like, I think the Jets got whooped that Week 17 game in Foxborough?
Yeah.
I remember, like, the whole third quarter, like, the announced team was just saying, like, oh, yeah, and he's on his way out the door. I'm like, we're still playing the game. Like, I'm saying he's going to get fired, but, like, can we wait? Like, it's like...
Hey, man, if they do that with Gase this year, I'm not complaining, you know, because we all know that's coming. Week 17.
Literally, that, like, it's not even going to be, like, oh, Monday morning it happens. That should be, like, Sunday night by, like, 8 o'clock, by whatever the Sunday night your game is that day for playoff positioning.
I feel like a lot of these coaches know before the game, like, hey, man, this is going to be your last game, you know, the players know that, you know. I think that happens more so than we know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it for sure does. I would agree with that, too.
Like, I can already think of probably, besides Gase, I can think of probably three other coaches who are probably getting fired this year. Like, Patricia with Detroit, Doug Marrone in Jacksonville, and probably Anthony Lynn at the rate the Chargers are playing.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I mean, I guess
I feel bad for him too,
because
he's a good coach. He really is, man.
Oh, Lynn's
yeah, I don't watch enough of their games, I guess, but or all of their games, but like, I don't know what's going on with the Chargers.
Oh, for sure. Lynn's a good coach. It's just like the unfortunate, like, you had so many of these opportunities. Like, he's one of those guys though where he'll get an OC job somewhere. And, oh, the other coach I'll say, too, who I think's on the short end of the stick getting fired is Fangio in Denver. Because I think they honestly either need to move on from Drew Lock, because I love the conspiracy theories of John Lynch purposely drafting shitty quarterbacks so they don't break his records, or they just need to get an offensive-minded head coach in there.
Yeah, Fangio isn't going to really get you anywhere. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Fisher. But if I'm Denver, I'm taking a hard look at Sam Darnold, you know, because they're not going to have the draft pick to get an elite quarterback, you know, one of these top quarterbacks in the draft, and who's really going to be available? You're going to go sign Cam Newton to a large deal? I doubt it, you know, so I'll take a hard look at Sam Darnold.
And plus, I mean, you don't know, I mean, Cam you just don't know how the season's going to go with Cam. Like he could just decide to just take less money and stay in New England, so you just don't know.
Yeah.
What was I else going to say? But yeah, for the most part, like, you don't really know what's going to go on. But then even to, like, how we were talking earlier about the Giants, it's not even the offense that's making them look good. Man, their defense from last year to this year, like, Patrick Graham's got them playing great football.
Yeah, you'd have to say James Bradberry was probably the best signing in the offseason. That guy's just been playing lights out. You know, Leonard Williams, he's been coming in on his own. He's been getting pressures. He's been getting the sacks this year. You know, he had 0 sacks last year. So, yeah, their defense really holding up, man. It's just the quarterback play is what is really setting them back. They shouldn't be what are they, 3-7?
Yeah, 3-7, probably.
Yeah, they're not a 3-7 team. I would say they're going to win the division, you know, if I had to bet today.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple games, though, they should have won. Like, I think they should have beaten the Eagles on the Thursday nighter. It was just, unfortunately, their defense kind of let up. And then there's one other one out there. I would like to say Tampa, but I don't know. But even at the same time, too.
Tampa, yeah.
Yeah. But just, I want to go to the Bucs quickly, because I don't know if you guys, did you guys see the whole Antonio Brown news that broke today?
I didn't say, I just was just reading that before I got on, yeah.
Like, I love how they say, like, oh, we were aware of the accusations. I'm like, if he was on any other team in his circumstances, he'd be released by now. So, like, they're literally keeping him on because Tom wants him there.
Oh, yeah.
Tom is willing to do anything to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is, I'll be honest, that's kind of, to me, it's a knock. It's like, bro, you don't need Antonio Brown to win a Super Bowl. Like, that was just, like, come on, bro. And you're trying too hard in that sense. Yeah.
And even, too, the whole thing about saying, like, Bruce Arians coming out and saying, like, oh, hey, Tom had nothing to do with this. We did this because we're banged out receiver. I'm like, I'm calling such bullshit on you, Arians.
Coming from the guy that literally said, there's no way we're signing Antonio Brown, which therefore obviously meant Tom Brady went into his, then they had talked, and then he's like, okay, I guess we are signing him. Yeah, bro, you ain't hiding that one, Arians. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's like the world's worst kept secret of Antonio Brown going to the Bucs. And then they only signed him because that's when there was those whole rumors about, oh, hey, Seattle may make a move for him, but then what happens? Seattle does nothing, and Tampa signed him. So that was all just probably, oh, it's Patterson fumbles. But
yeah, I didn't believe that Seattle hype. I'm like, wow, they don't need him. I didn't believe that hype. I really thought
Seattle's fine on offense.
I want to ask you both a question right now, just involving those two teams. If you had to pick one to go to the Super Bowl right now, Seattle or Tampa Bay, which way would you go?
Ooh, that's a good question. Daniel, let's go.
I'm 100% going to go with Tampa Bay. Seattle's defense is by far probably the worst in the league. They can't stop anything. So when it comes to playoff time, you know, that's going to really get exposed. I wouldn't be shocked if they're one and done. Tampa, they're gonna gel together. They're going to get their defense fixed, you know, as bad as they've been playing. And even if their defense does give up scores, that offense, like I said, is going to continue to gel with Antonio Brown. You know, Chris Godwin's been out, you know, a couple games this year. So the more reps they get together, the more they understand how to play with each other, they're just going to get better. So I would say Tampa Bay for sure, hands down.
Yeah, and I think you can't go – I mean, obviously it's a small sample size, but, like, just because their defense has suffered as of late, like, I feel like they'll get it together, like Danny said. I think Tampa Bay's just the easier nod there. Seattle, like, early on I thought they were – clearly the best team, but then their defense has just gotten worse. Like, it's just like, I just don't think that defense is going to be able to hold up in the playoffs now. That could change. Obviously, we got still a lot of seasons left, but right now I think Tampa's defense, like, has proven, at least in some games, that they can hold them down and do somewhat, you know. But this year, I don't even know if anybody's defense is going to be able to do anything. So, I mean, it might not be defense that wins it.
The thing is with Seattle, man, Russell Wilson's turning the ball over a lot these past few weeks, man. That's really uncharacteristic of him.
That is true. Russell Wilson does, I mean, as much praise as I gave him, I think I agree with that, Danny. He does deserve some criticism because he didn't turn the ball over, so the offense was their thing. So once he starts doing that, then it's not good.
I'll also say this too, though. I think that this coming Thursday night, that Seattle-Arizona game, I think that's more of a must-win for Seattle than Arizona. Like, I feel like Arizona can afford to lose it just because they have the two. Like, Arizona right now is 2-0 in division play. Meanwhile, Seattle's 1-2. Like, their only win was against San Francisco, and Seattle loses this game, there's going to be a lot of questions. And I think Russell Wilson's MVP candidacy is slowly going away.
Yeah, it's a tale of, like, I mean, there's little sections of the season. I told people that before. It's like, you can't read into one section. It's like it constantly evolves. Like, so I think that's the thing with Seattle. We're just seeing them get exposed, and then Russell Wilson's obviously not playing well. So now his MVP candidacy is, of course, running. It's going down. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying. There was something else I was going to say about the Cardinals, I thought, or something. But I would agree that Arizona-Seattle game is probably a must-win for Seattle. But, I mean, obviously not a must-win. It's not over if they lose, but it's a very important win.
Must win, yeah, in the sense of winning the division.
Correct, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm going to go on record here, and I'm going to say Arizona wins that game. I know it's very hard to sweep a division opponent, but, you know, the way Arizona is playing, and that game shouldn't have came down to that Hail Mary yesterday. You know, Arizona had the lead. They had the lead, you know, they the touchdown at the end. But, you know, they should have won that game regardless. And they had their heart their hearts broken against the Dolphins the week before. But they've been playing really, really good football. So I think Arizona gets this game. And then we start to question Seattle a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree.
No, because I was going to say, too, with Arizona as well, like, Arizona's got a good team. Like, they have a good offense. Their defense is just still a little suspect because, like, if you're playing Big 12 football in the NFL, you're not going to win. Like, that's the thing. So I think if Arizona, like, they're a team where, yeah, they're legit and they can make the playoffs, but I still think they need to, if they can sharpen up, not on, because like, they have a really good secondary, but if they can sharpen up, let's say, on the in their front seven, add maybe a couple more pieces in there, there's going to be talks of them being a serious playoff contender going forward. That's just my take on the Arizona Cardinals right now.
I agree.
Yeah.
I honestly think they're just going to go as far as Kyler takes them, you know?
Yeah,
He's been playing really good, man. Can't deny that.
I think they need to kind of...
You're right. I agree with that.
The only thing I was going to say is I think they kind of need to get punched in the mouth in the playoffs to, like, kind of... Not saying, like, go in the playoffs and lose by, like, 30, but, like, you know what? If you have, like, a bad loss, like, you know how they had against Miami a week ago where... it was that missed field goal. Like, a loss like that to kind of spark them going forward to know, like, hey, okay, we did this, but we can do this to get better. But if I had to pick a team right now, on another note, to come out of the NFC, even though they have their starting quarterback out, I'm still going with the Saints.
And I agree with you.
Yeah, like,
because... Yeah, it's just kind of a momentum thing, though. I mean, they looked good, obviously, and then now with Drew Brees hurt, that could hurt the momentum. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, before Brees got hurt, I would 100% agree with you. But I want to see kind of how they bounce back from that. That kind of hurt them last year, too. So
they just got to get over that playoff hurdle, man. Every year, somehow, some way, they just, you know, they drop that playoff game. So if you can get over that hurdle, yeah, absolutely. They have as good a shot as anyone. But, you know, we just have to see it.
This is a random question, but I just – looking at the standings and just something that I wanted to bring up after looking at it. Do you 9-0 Steelers legit or not legit?
As long as Ben doesn't get hurt, they're legit.
Yeah, I would say legit, but they're not like Patriots undefeated good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
right. Right. That's pretty much what I was saying. I'll just throw it out there. It's not that I really have opinions on it. I just think that they're not 9-0 good. But
I don't think they go 16-0 if that's the question.
No, I would never ask that because I don't think that's possible. But it's their schedule. It's possible, but I mean, they have the Ravens and they play at the Bills. But that's just to me. I mean, if I'm them, I wouldn't want to do it. That's way too much pressure.
You know, to add on to that, yeah, they did look bad against the Cowboys. Did they not take them serious? Who knows? But they definitely recovered with that Bengals win yesterday. They fucking beat the snot out of them. So
yeah, so I mean, that's fine. Not everyone's gonna have. That's the thing. Like, not everyone's gonna have a blowout game. So I'm not knocking out on Pittsburgh. I mean, it's the NFL. Every week. I mean, I understand they're sucky teams, but like every so often you get caught. I mean, it happens. So. But I think overall they're a solid team. I'm not trying to hate on them. That defense is honestly, I think that defense could carry them to the Super Bowl. Hopefully, I'm wrong though.
I got a question for the two of you actually, because it involves two teams who play this weekend. Which team's more fraudulent, if you will, or kind of overrated, Tennessee or Baltimore?
Oh, good question.
I'll answer this first since I let Danny go first last time. I actually think the more fraudulent team is the Ravens and not just because the Pats beat them, but I saw this before. Like I said it somewhat before the game, but like there was a stat coming out of the game, like when the Ravens aren't leading the game, they lose. They're like 0-7. I can't remember the stat, but it's like 0-7, 0-8 now. No, they're 0-0. The stat I saw, they haven't won any when they were down like 10 points or something like that.
Okay.
I can't remember. I have to find a stat, but. I'll see if I can pull it up. But yeah, so like the Ravens, I think the Ravens are a team that they are built with to play with the lead. Like, they're not a Chiefs team that can like attack you at any point. You always have to, you know, be aware of them. But I just think the Titans, I feel like they're kind of what they are. I mean, they're not going to beat everybody. I mean, the Colts game kind of exposed a good bit, but it's a division game. And I think Big Rat said this about the Jets and Pats game. It's like, division games sometimes are just weird. Sometimes they don't, like, teams just play better against each other. So it's just because that's the teams they play more often than anybody. So I don't really hold too much weight that game. But I think Tennessee will be fine. I mean, Henry seems like it's just like they shut him down. They don't have good games if a team can shut him down. So, or shut him down for the most part. But Baltimore, I think there's just a head scratcher there. I don't know. So, I mean, obviously Ravens will probably come out and beat Pittsburgh in a couple weeks, but and it'll look different. But just as of right now, but I think that this is good for the Ravens in the long run, because I think last year hurt them, because they were, you know, I was a big advocate in calling that upset of Tennessee over them, because I just thought the Ravens had basically 2 weeks off, and it's just a hot team cannot take 2 weeks off. It just does not work. So I think the Ravens could honestly be better come playoff time, but we'll.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Titans here, man. That defense, you know, in a division game, you know, the winner takes first place did not look good. They got exposed by, you know, not one of the best offenses in the league there. And you know, the thing with the Titans, like you said, bro, if Derrick Henry isn't going, you know, the team just isn't the same team. So, you know, when you force Tannehill to try to go win the game for you, you know, he's not that quarterback. As much as Big Rat loves him and he's got all the PFF stats that he's the number one quarterback in the league, you know, he's just not that. You know, he doesn't pass the eye test for me. But, you know, not to discredit him, he has been playing great ever since he got to Tennessee. But that team, I just don't see them re-achieving what they did last year. Their pass rush is non-existent. Clowney's been a dud. You know, the secondary isn't there. With the Ravens, you know, we ask this question every year about the Ravens, last year as well. They'll be fine. The Patriots needed that game, and they went out and they won that game. You know what I mean? So,
and the Patriots were built for that game too, if you look at it. I mean, as much as I didn't know what the weather was going to be, and I just was talking outside of the weather, but with they're adding into a factor, it's like that's the Patriots' bread and butter. So, I mean, that also take as much as I'm praising the Patriots, I agree with you, Danny. I think that's like the Ravens. I mean, that's knocking. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. The Ravens will be fine, you know.
Yeah. So I think playoff times will be fine. I just think that, I don't know, I just, you know, give a different spin on it, but yeah. I'll try to find this out. Hold on. Okay, it's now, okay, so Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are 0-6 when down by 10. It says, when the Ravens are down 10, Baltimore's 0-5. This was before the game, so 0-6 now, with Lamar under center, including the playoffs in games where the Ravens trailed by at least 10 points. So, you know, that was the stat. So, they're 0-6 now. So that's the problem. For Lamar Jackson, I mean, I do. Let me just say, I will applaud, since I'm downing the Ravens, I will applaud. Lamar Jackson is a freaking. It's frustrating to watch. Like, yeah. Is against the defense, bro. Like, he. Like, the one thing last night, I'm like, I literally called the play. I said, okay, no one's going to be open because Bill knows how to stop that. But Lamar Jackson's going to run first down. What did he do? Ran for the first down. It was like
you
one
just can't account for him. Yeah, you just can't account for him.
Because they played it perfect. And then, I mean, Chase Winovitz comes right at him. That's the play I'm talking about. Chase Winovitz comes right at him and, like, spin move. I mean, it's just, the guy's a freak athlete as far as that. I think the Ravens, one thing that the Ravens need that the Chiefs have is speed on offense or, like, actual offensive weapons. Even though, I mean, I know they have Brown, they have Andrews and stuff like that, but like they don't have the talent that the Chiefs have. And I think the Ravens would be just as good if they had that talent.
I agree.
The only thing I was going to say about the Ravens too, the other thing that would help is their offensive line. Like, I called this earlier this year, I believe, with Big Rat too, of them losing Marshall Yonder to retirement. I knew it was going to be a big loss for them, just because when your offensive line changes so drastically, you notice differences. And even too, losing Ronnie Stanley to injury doesn't help. And now Nick Boyle, whose leg bent the way it shouldn't, when his leg bent that way, I'm like, yeah, that's not good. Because like the Ravens now are literally down to Mark Andrews at tight end. I don't know their roster head to toe. But also too, the one thing I'll say about them, the amount of undisciplined penalties they took last night, like just stupid calls, it's like head scratching. Where I'm looking at them, going like, guys, what are you doing? Like, this is like, I'll accept the penalties, no problem. Yeah, your team's playing stupid, but from a football standpoint, I'm just looking at it like, this is not like Ravens football. Like, it took them four quarters for their defense to finally make some plays and recognize, hey, what the Patriots were doing all night long.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Ravens' defense is so physical, and it just seemed like it got physical late. Like, it just didn't seem. I mean, obviously, I missed the first half, but looking back, it was like the first one. It just seemed like they got physical, and it's like, well, now you're getting physical. It's like kind of late for that now. It's like, you know, but and then their offense just couldn't. I mean, in that rain, to their credit, I mean, no one's doing anything, and like I mean, outside of just tossing it up, hoping for a prayer, but.
Yeah. If I'm going to ask you, actually, this is a question for Danny, because I know the way Phil would answer. If you had to pick one team right now to make the playoffs, would you say who's more likely, the Patriots or the Browns?
Man, that's a good question.
So easy for me. And I know this will be fine. I know it's biased, but I don't trust the Browns, though. I don't trust...
You know what? With the Patriots' remaining schedule and how tough the AFC East is this year, and the Browns already having, what do they have, a three-game lead on them? I would say the Browns...
Yeah, technically two, but...
Two-game... Okay. But I would still say the Browns. I know they lost Odell... you know, you can't really get a true read on the Browns with the last two games because of the weather, I believe. But, you know, once the ball starts flying again and stuff, and we can really evaluate how Baker's going to play without Odell, I would be able to give you a better answer. But I would not be surprised if it is the Patriots, obviously.
Browns do get tight at Titans, then the Ravens, and then they have to play the Steelers still, so. That's essentially right now you would say all three, they're not winning any of those three.
And then what do you have for the Patriots? What's remaining on that?
Let's see, go back.
I got it. At Texans versus Cardinals, at Chargers, at Rams, at Dolphins, versus Bills, and versus Jets.
So really Bills, Dolphins.
That Cardinals game is a big swing game.
So it's kind of even. It's kind of like, well, we'll see how it goes, but... Yeah, we need to beat that. We need the Cardinals win for sure.
Hey, man, it depends if you guys can carry that momentum. You know, you're building momentum for sure. And, you know, since that should carry right into next week, I feel a blowout coming there. And then who do you have after that? Who's after the Texans?
Then it's the Cardinals, yeah.
Then it's the Cardinals, yeah. So
at home,
it's how you guys get up for that game. That's going to really tell.
Yeah, because if they can go, regardless of what happens on Sunday against the Texans, if between the Cardinals, Chargers, and Rams, if they can go 2-1 in that stretch, I feel like they'll be good because they can go into their last three division games with a little bit of confidence. Because remember, this was a team, this time last week, we were all watching, Phil was at work, but Danny and I were watching the game, where the Patriots were 2-5, where if they're 2-6, it's a whole different conversation of, okay, they're going to start to, like, season's lost, we'll move on, look to next year. But the fact that 6 days and two wins can just... This is what I love about the NFL, is how in less than a week, you can go from being, oh, we may not make the playoffs, to hey, we got a fighting chance.
Well, I think it's important too, and Big Ray, I'll give him prop again, but like he tweeted out that like people act like this Patriots team was that bad. Like, yeah, they did look bad, but one, and whether Alex wants to admit it or not, or whoever wants to disagree, COVID did affect this team, you know, with Cam being out against the Chiefs game. And then, you know, obviously the Broncos game, he first game back, obviously he didn't look that good. And the Niners is the only one I can say, like, okay, that was just an L. I don't know what happened there. But the Bills game, we literally were there to at least tie the game. So, like, we're in that game. It's like, it's the Seattle game, we lose by a yard. Like, so, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, you have to look at how these teams are losing and how, like, you know, it's like the Bills, you don't take anything away from them losing to a Hail Mary to Arizona. It's kind of like that. You can't just look at the box score and say, well, they lost. You know, you got to look at, like, how they played and how they're doing and how close, you know. So it's like, I think that's what people get wrapped up in this, in the record too much sometimes. But, I mean, like you said, 2-6 would have been totally different. But I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But
as Nick Foles gets sacked. This is one other thing I'll say, too, just about this game that's on right now. Whoever loses this Vikings-Bears game, I think their playoff hopes are done. Even though the Bears are still going to be 5-5, I have no confidence in them going.
You were talking about an overrated 5-5 when they were 5-3, weren't they? Yeah, totally overrated. Yeah.
They were overrated when they were fucking 3-0.
That's also true.
They were the one. They may be the most fraudulent 3-0 team in NFL history.
3-0, and they benched their starting quarterback. I think they knew they were overrated.
It's just they beat the Bucks, man. That gave them a lot of steam. That was a big win for them.
It was a big win for them. But it's also Thursday. That was Thursday night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Brady, I mean, that's just so weird. Error.
What'd you say?
The game where Brady became the meme. Remember where he thought it was third down, but then it was actually fourth down, and then the game was over. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Even though he didn't answer it, but yeah, that's what he thought.
I know I'm just going, like, randomly bouncing off notes, but you know who one team who's kind of impressed me this year, even though I still have questions about their quarterbacking position, honestly, is the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, I thought they could be feisty potentially to maybe make a run at the playoffs. I didn't think they'd be 6-3 through week 10.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I thought a big game for them was going to be how they came out against this Broncos team. A typical Raider game would be a loss there, but they found a way to win that, actually blow them out pretty much. Drew Lock looked absolutely terrible. You know, their offense is clicking right now, and that's without Ruggs really going off. Ruggs hasn't really done much this year. It's just Derek Carr has been playing very well. Darren Waller's been killing it. Jacobs has been killing it. Their defense is a little sketchy.
Yeah.
I think they had, before yesterday, I think they had 2 interceptions all year, which was the lowest in the league, and then they found a way. I think they had 3 picks yesterday.
Yeah, I saw what Gail tweeted about that, yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 4 picks yesterday. So, you know, I'm definitely buying stock in the Raiders right now. They're probably the biggest sleeper team in the AFC right now, for sure.
And looking at their schedule, I mean, I guess it's not easy, but it's, I mean, they got the Chiefs' is next game, so, I mean, sweeping the Chiefs, but they sweep the Chiefs. That would be huge for them. But then they have the Falcons, they have the Jets. That's 2 wins, barring some collapse. And then they have the Colts, Chargers. So Colts, Chargers are kind of like, you know, at that point they're probably not even going to care anymore. But and then you have the Dolphins, and then you end against the Broncos. So the Raiders are pretty much, I would think, almost a lock for the playoffs.
Yeah, they're getting in. You
know, they're definitely getting in. So they look good. I mean, they, you know, our win looks even better against them now because, but.
Oh, no doubt, Phil. You're right, but there's just so many teams where I look at them, I'm like, and that's the other thing too. Like with this Sunday, honestly, part of me is torn. Like I want to pick the Chiefs to win, but at the same time, too, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think the Raiders win the game, but I don't think it's going to be like a 20-point blow. Because I remember that happened last year where the Raiders were in they played Kansas City, I think week 2 or week 3, and they kept it somewhat close, but then like they played them again in December and they just got their asses kicked. Like, if the Chiefs win, I think the Raiders can maybe hang tough with them and like be, like, I don't know, 28-20 kind of thing.
So I definitely think it should be a close game.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, like, one other team, actually, just because obviously Phil and Danny know each other from before. Myself, this is actually the first time Danny and I have ever spoken. That's not over DM, but. Man, we got a lot to unravel, but one thing I actually found out recently about this is back to the Jets with all their news with Gase and everyone wanting him fired. I didn't realize that the Johnsons never fired a coach in season.
That's just, yeah, man.
I didn't realize either.
Yes, with that, like I said before, you got to keep Gase on board because he gives you the best chance to lose. I don't know why.
That's still the best quote. I still
love that. Love that. I am naming the podcast that. I'm sorry, I got it. Best chance to lose.
But I'm not really sure with that. You know, that's just, I guess, the thing they believe in, I guess. I really wouldn't know what to say about that.
Well, I mean, how many scenarios do you see? I mean, outside of finding an interim that you decided to go with, like, okay, the interim goes on a 4-win tear and kills your stock. So,
Hey, Phil, can I interrupt you for a second?
There's no benefit from a guy coming in. Like, college is a little different. College is, you can get a guy in and maybe this guy is, you know, but.
Greg Williams is probably the best interim coach there. There's been a while recently, you know, but, you know, he'll win games for you, so why make that move?
The one thing I want to ask you, though, do you think it's a complete house cleaning, though? Because who's your – I keep forgetting the name of the offensive coordinator. Is it, like, Loggan Dowell, or is it Dowell Loggins?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just it's the real weirdest football names I've ever seen.
Dowell Loggins, yeah. He's pretty much Adam Gase's little bitch.
Yeah, like – that's just one thing I wanted to ask, because, like, I was trying to remember his name, because it was just such a – like, a lot – I love all these football coaches have just such weird names, but they're, like – because, like, that's one thing I've also come to learn in recent years, man. Football coaches and football guys are just, like, a different breed of human being. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, the guys, like, who are involved in football, like, you know how everyone says, oh, it'd be awesome to coach a team or be a GM, but, like, man, it must be, like, one of the most stressful jobs in the world. Oh, that's just one thing I wanted to say, like, oh, my God. But, Man, I gotta look at the schedule quickly just to see what big games come up this weekend. actually got another. I'm gonna come up with a question, you guys, for upset wise. Which upset do you think is more likely to happen? And also too, surprisingly, Danny, I'm just looking up the schedule for next week. Chargers Jets spread is at 7.5 right now.
I saw a 10.5 before, so a lot of people are betting on the Jets there. That line moved a lot. I believe it opened at 10.5.
I would take the Jets to. I would probably bet the Chargers to win, but I think the Jets could cover that.
Yeah, I would take the points on the Jets for sure.
Side note, Danny, you'll know this because you bet a lot. So when people, is that how the line gets fluctuated based on the bets they receive? Is that?
Yeah. So the line opened up at 10.5, and a lot of money came in on that Jets 7.5. They're gonna move the line down.
So people can't win. Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
But every line you bet it at, it stays there, right? It doesn't change.
Yeah. Once you confirm your ticket, that's your ticket.
That's your ticket. Okay.
It's just you're not gonna see that number again if you go back in, you know, to the casino or whatever your sports book.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So they're just trying not to lose money. So yeah. I'm just curious.
And line movement that can trick you a lot, because that you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're gonna, you know, win by 11. You know what I'm saying?
That just means people think that.
It's just they're taking so much money that they're forced to move the line down.
Yeah. Like, for example, the line for Sunday's games, which one I don't understand, the Chiefs are a 7-point favorite over the Raiders right now. And
7-point favorite?
I would take the Raiders to cover that.
That is a little high.
You would think the Raiders do cover that, but the Chiefs can also come out and blow them out, like you said.
Yeah, you would be shocked either way. That seems like a bet I wouldn't want to.
I would take the over in that game if I had to make a bet. The over total points.
12 points right now is at 57.5.
Yeah, that's going to be a shootout, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
The one question I was going to ask you though is, what upset do you see more? I also do the surprise right now is the Colts are 2.5 favorite over the Packers so far. Which,
oh wow,
I like that. I think they can get that win. I do.
You know what? I think Hines is going to have another big game. I have a feeling because, look, Green Bay's got one of the worst running defenses in the league right now. The only lines that aren't out is Detroit, Carolina, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Atlanta, New Orleans. Let's see here.
The Packers kind of got exposed against the Bucs, man. Like, I know that was just like...
Well, we knew the Packers were a bad defense last year when they got annihilated by San Francisco.
They haven't really. They came on strong and then lost to the Bucs. I mean, they only got 2 losses, but still, like, they have not looked good. They didn't look good against the Jags at all.
The Jaguars, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
At all.
Yeah, like, even. As soon as I saw that spread at 14.5, I'm like, they're going to cover. Like,
I picked the Jags to cover that. Yeah, I picked the. I had a bet on the Jags plus 14.
Yeah, Danny, quick question for you. Are you in New York or are you in New Jersey?
New York.
Okay, I was just asking just because I know Bobby's in Jersey and I wasn't sure if...
Yeah.
What the sport betting
Long
situation...
Island, New York.
Oh, you're in Long Island, okay.
Yeah.
Just because I wasn't sure what the sports betting situation was like in New York, because, like, I have a couple buddies in... Actually, Phil knows both of them, Bobby and Falco and Phil. Both are in Jersey, and I know Jersey was, like, the first state to make betting legalized, so I wasn't sure what the exact situation was like in New York.
Yeah, it's... I go through a local bookie, so it's still illegal here, so let's hush that up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I go through a local bookie, so I'm not betting with like DraftKings or any of that kind of stuff. But I still get the same lines and everything. It just works, just like them.
Can you not use DraftKings and stuff?
No.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that.
Maybe if I used a VPN, I would be able to. But not with a New York IP.
Oh. I don't even know if it's legal here. I don't vote. I don't bet. So. I said don't vote. I do vote. Like, they're gonna quote me. Oh, he doesn't vote.
No, I was just curious, Danny. That's all. That's why I was asking, because I wasn't sure. Like,
no, yeah, that's cool. You're in Canada, right?
Yeah, I'm in Canada. But what I do is just go through all our lottery stuff is like through the government. There's something here called OLG on like Ontario Lottery and Gaming. And what I do is on the app. There's actually an app, so I go scroll on the app. So what I do is every week I usually bet, I'll pick all the spreads for the games, but I just bet $2 on that, just simple $2, and then I'll take three or four games for a team to either tie, which means three or under, win by four, or win by eight, or do the over-under. Okay. And I usually just bet like max $10, so I'm usually just betting like $12 a week, because I look at it where I'm like, hey, I can win a lot of money, but at the same time, too, if I'm losing $10 a week, I don't care, like I don't want to be betting like $50.
Yeah, nice little fun money, you know, puts a lot of interest in the game. You know, I love having money on games. It just makes them so much more, like, lively and fun. Oh, sucks to lose, but...
Yeah, same thing fantasy. I mean, there's nothing different. You just put money each week, you know? Yeah.
I will say this. So whoever made fantasy football and like is one of the smartest people in the world, because fantasy football does so much more money for the – like people don't think it's a moneymaker for the NFL, but it really is, because like, look, they know that they're going to gain viewership through these people playing fantasy football, even if it's with their friends and stuff.
Side note, tell that to Nick.
Oh, man. He's so many people.
I bet his mentions, I would have just not gone on Twitter that day. Yeah.
The only person whose mentions I feel bad for right now is the center for the Ravens. Like, apparently people were actually, like, threatening him and stuff. Like, Ravens fans.
It's not his fault. Wow. The ball, well, I know his hand was hurt, but it's not his fault the ball's freaking wet. I mean, things be alright. People are dicks online, so
exactly. Yeah.
Nick Chubb. Yeah. I was trying to see if Nick Chubb tweeted about that, because that just seems like that would have been something he would have.
If you want to laugh, I would go search Jamal Adams. People tweeting at him, all these Seahawks fans.
Wow.
Gives you a great kick as a Jet fan.
Are they, is he struggling? I haven't really, I mean,
he's not worth
the picks they gave him. I know that, yeah.
Oh, no, we heisted them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I figured that, like, he had a bad game. And even to yesterday, like, oh, Phil, you know how earlier you said off recording that you went, I think you started 1-4 and now you're 4-5 in fantasy?
Yeah.
So I'm in a league back here with some buddies, and also my girlfriend happens to be in the league as well. She started off 0-3 and she's 6-3 right now.
Like, she's, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. In another league, I started 3-0 and I'm like battling for the stay of 500. So it's just like, this is how it, like, I mean, it's crazy. And then this year, you had, like, I was telling before the podcast started, it's like, I was telling Danny, it's like, You got to know what you're doing. Like, this is not a casual year. If you're a casual, you're going to go, like, you're barely going to win, because, like, you're not going to be able to look on for, like, the top transactions and stuff like that. Waiver wire, so, yeah.
The other thing I was going to say... Sorry to cut you off, Danny. I just wanted to get... Because we don't usually talk a lot about this, but... Phil, do you want to air some grievances out about the University of South Carolina's football program?
I mean, that grievances, I'm going to be like, thank God, get Muschamp out of here. He should have never been there. But anyways, I mean, the only thing is, don't be stealing my, like, because for those of you that do or do not know, but I went to the University of Coastal Carolina, who is undefeated and is actually ranked this year. So, I mean, COVID has a lot to do with that, but I'll take it. We're a really good team. So, the reason why I say I brought that part up is the fact that I just don't want to care. I don't want South Carolina trying to call Chadwell up and be like, yo, you want to coach? No, leave him alone.
Let's go. Sorry, guys.
Just happened.
Just feeling got a touchdown. Probably going to win me. That's going to win me fantasy.
Who got the touchdown?
Yeah. Feeling.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, boom. That's points for me, too.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I just had to interrupt you there. Sorry. And would you want, just quickly, do you want Hugh Freeze to be the new coach, or just as long as it's better than Muschamp?
I don't know. I mean, I just think he's a young guy that's got potential, and we need to ride with him. I mean, that's what Clemson did with Dabo. I mean, it took years. You got to trust him. But I just think Muschamp had already proven what he had done. So that's the kind of thing I want, a guy that's like, he's got some stuff on, but I just don't want, you know, I don't want obviously them to vulture my Coastal Carolina quick. But
also too, one spread I see right here that I got to talk about, because I want to ask you guys a quick question before we wrap up. The Ravens are a 6-point favorite over the Titans. Like,
that's something I would stay off of personally.
Yeah, that's another one I would stay off. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Because it can go either way. You know, it really could go either way. The Ravens can respond and just, you know, put it on Titans, or the Titans can respond, cover that, not and win maybe. You know, that's just that's not a good bet either way. You know, you bet that.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say too was I'm just looking at this schedule right here. Between. And Danny, you're probably going to give an answer for this. Between Dallas, who plays Minnesota, let's say Denver, who plays Miami, and the Jets, who play the Chargers, which upset's most likely to happen to win? Dallas winning, Denver, or New York?
Oof. Wow. Denver is just not good whatsoever. The Dolphins are playing way too good on special teams, defense, and offense. So I think the Dolphins definitely have that. Cowboys, Vikings. Man, I would have to say that even though I don't think they win, I think the Vikings are, you know, we're seeing them right now. They're not playing all that great, but, you know, Dallas has just been awful. I know they played the Steelers really tough, but I don't think the Steelers really got up for that game. I just think if the Vikings win this game, they're going to be on a tear to try to make that playoff push, so they're going to give the Cowboys everything they have. I think you got to go with the Jets there.
You know what? I agree. I was going to say Vikings, like not Vikings, I was going to say Cowboys just because you don't know with the Vikings, but like, if the Vikings hold on here, go 4-5, they're going to be just ready to go. And as I say that too, I just remind myself of the crap fest that we all have to deal with, and I say we all because I had vacation days at work, and I'm not afraid to admit it. Yes, I booked them off so I could watch football next Thursday, but I just realized too that the pile of crap that I have to endure before I get to Baltimore-Pittsburgh. It's Detroit, Houston, Dallas, Washington. Like, why?
Well, Thanksgiving. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
I just realized it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's hard to believe that's Thanksgiving.
Not a good lineup except for that night game.
Yeah.
Wait, can we stop? I know it's never going to happen when it comes to Dallas, but I'm still going to say it. Can we stop giving Detroit and Dallas Thanksgiving game just because it's tradition? Like, just change it. Like, okay, if they start to be good again, fine. Give it back. I'm not saying that, but it's like, good Lord, like, open it up. So, like,
or just schedule them to play each other every year somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, just give it. Yeah, just let it be Detroit Dallas, yeah, or something. Yeah.
The one game out of the way.
Yeah, those games are awful. That's why they added a third. Because I don't think did they used to have a third game. I feel like they've only had two, but for some years before, but. Yeah.
I'm just watching this game.
Three Thursday night games?
No, on Thanksgiving, yeah.
No, I think it's always been three, no?
It's always been three? Okay, you might. No, that's probably right.
Always been the... Well, no, I think the third game only started, like, I think maybe 15 or 20 years ago.
Oh, well, that's not... I mean, that's, yeah.
Or...
All right, so as long as I've been watching.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I was like, that's not, okay. For some reason, I was thinking there wasn't a third game.
My favorite Thanksgiving memory has to be in 2010. I remember I was in grade 12, and that was the year the Patriots played the Lions on Thanksgiving, Phil. And I remember my four-period teacher told me, he said, hey, if the Patriots win this game, you get to wear, like, a Patriots apparel to class tomorrow. And I walked in with, like, the biggest smile on my face, and everyone's looking at me like, go fuck yourself.
I actually hated that. Like, I never want the Patriots to play on Thanksgiving because that means I have to watch the game at my family's. And I'm like, they all hate me. So it's like, they don't hate me, but they hate the Patriots. So I was like, I don't want to watch the game with them. I want to watch a game at home. Like, and plus, love my family, but half of them don't even know football that well. So I'm like, sitting there, like, okay, you don't know. That's pass interference, but okay. But you know, everybody goes through that. But shout out to my family. They're awesome. But I'm just saying.
No, that's all good.
Shout out Phil's family.
Shout out Phil's family. The one thing I'll say, though, about the whole Thanksgiving thing is just if you're going to schedule, keeping Detroit and Dallas because of tradition, try to schedule decent opponents. Like, have, I don't know, Detroit play Green Bay or Detroit play, like, a top-notch opponent or even Dallas, too. Like, I don't know how they didn't put, like, Dallas-Pittsburgh or even later this year, Dallas is going to play San Francisco. Like, I don't know how you don't put, like, one of those two games at Dallas. Like, maybe it's because of broadcasting, but, like, I think they should always just try to put the best opponents in on Thanksgiving just so you can always get a good matchup.
I mean, Washington-Dallas has potential to be a good game. It's just not going to be good teams.
Phil, it's going to be like 13-10.
Yeah, no, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should rephrase that. Not good game, close game, sorry, I should say.
Well, then again...
I guess seeing Alex Smith go a start isn't that terrible, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I guess it honestly could be worse, talking about Thanksgiving. That was just one thing I wanted to say, but... Apart from that, boys, we're almost catching up an hour. Does anybody have anything else they want to say for today's episode?
0-16, baby. Come on.
Keep winning, Pats. Just win. Just win, Pats. We're the opposite. Just this is Danny's motto. Just keep winning.
Trevor's seven games away, man.
Oh, man. I swear. I need the Jets to win a game. I can't. Trevor Lawrence on the Jets, I can't. I can't do it. I don't. Oh, man. But good luck to you, Danny. Yeah.
But to be honest, though, and this is coming from a Pats fan, I honestly wouldn't mind that much if the AFC East became somewhat competitive. If, like, you know how the NFC West is right now, where, look, you have four teams who, I know San Francisco is depleted with injuries, but if San Francisco was good and the other two teams are playing, and the other three teams are playing the way they were, that would be an amazing race to the finish.
If they get Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, and Tua, so, I mean, it'd be the Pats, and if they kept Cam for a little while, so, I mean, it'd just be,
listen,
so we'll see.
I am petrified the draft Zach Wilson out of BYU. That kid is a baller. I am very scared.
I saw you said that to me and Big Red earlier the other day. Zach Wilson's about to win the AFC.
That is the biggest sleeper quarterback coming out this year, man.
I don't know. We might be getting Jimmy G back.
You don't want that.
There was one team, though, sorry to cut you guys off, but there was one team I do have a feeling that may try to go after Jimmy, and that's Cleveland, because if they don't make the playoffs, I think Baker's out in Cleveland.
Hey.
I mean, it's
can't
possible.
Can't argue it.
Cleveland, it wouldn't shock me with Cleveland, because they think that just putting in a new quarterback every time is going to work. That's not how it works. They have to build around it. Like, that's an organizational problem. I've said that several times on here. I mean, even Danny... that's part of their problem too.
No, all right. So if you guys miss the playoffs, what are you doing with Cam Newton for next year?
Oh, I said, well, if this team—I mean, unless you're going out to change the team like drastically—I'd say you sign him. He's the only thing. Like, what? I mean, it's like I don't know, right? Somebody talked about that last time I was on, but I was like, I just think, I mean, he's done too well to not try to get him. I mean, you can't. Obviously, Bill's not going to overpay for him. So if someone decides, but we miss the playoffs, I don't think Cam's going to get that shot. I swear.
Some bad team will give him the shot.
I think Washington, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not going. Like, I feel like if he was going to go to Washington, he would have already went. So, that's just how I feel like. So, I don't know. I say the best option is to keep him. You can draft another guy if you don't think Stidham's a guy, or you can let Stidham, stay behind again. I mean, I don't think – I've seen enough from Stidham now that I've changed my mind. I don't think he's the guy. But so we'll see. But, I mean, I go with Cam. As of right now, like, Cam is just – like. He's honestly won us the games that we should have not won. So he's put with this offense. You got to build. If you build around him, you give him weapons. It's only going to get better. Like, you give him somebody to throw to, like, it's only going to get better. So that's how I look at it.
As for me with next year, look, if we miss the playoffs, I think either you sign Cam again on the cheap, or go after someone like Trask or Mac Jones, because I feel like. You know what, even like if I, or even do both, where if we can sign Cam on the cheap, then you draft Mac Jones, and then, like, if Mac's ready to come in, you know what, and then eventually you try to trade Cam for picks to a team, just any team who needs a quarterback. But one big fish I want to watch out for is to see what happens with Dak Prescott, just because if I'm him, you either try to get as much as you can out of Dallas, or, you know what, he can easily walk, because... I'll say this too, and Danny, this may hurt your feelings,
but... They're going to franchise tag him. I honestly believe they are.
Oh, no, they will, which I believe is bullshit, that he should get his long-term deal. But with Dak, or with Dallas, if they were in the position to try to, like, package everything to get, I don't know, a 6'6", tall, long-haired Christian quarterback... like...
Dallas trying to get Trevor Lawrence, that would be, you know... I mean... that's a good question. Actually, Griff, that does pose a good question. Do you, if the package is, what package is too good to be true?
Oh, fuck, it would have to be like probably...
Like three first? I'd have to be like three first.
I think it would be like...
Maybe a second, maybe... you make the pick, though, man. You have to make the pick.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta make the pick.
It's gotta
be... Whoever's number one is... Terrible. I don't see any. I was gonna say, is there anybody that has one loss that if the Jets end up winning, like I don't even like the Jags are definitely taking Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, they're praying that we win a game.
So I guess it's just the y'all and the Jags. I didn't realize. I thought some more people had.
Hey man, listen, the Jags played the Packers really tough yesterday, so I would not be shocked if they end up winning. You know, against the Browns maybe or some team like that.
They could still win. The Jets. So I don't know. I think their one moment was against the Pats, and now they may play the Pats again close.
Yeah, if they can get past the Chargers, I think there's a clear path to 0-16.
Yeah, I think that's yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, because I know the Jets still have to play, like, I think Seattle, the Rams, like, the Raiders. Like, I'm just looking right here at the Jags.
One more time.
Yeah, like, the Jags schedule, the only, like, after this week, they have the Browns, the Vikings, the Titans, the Ravens, the Bears, and the Colts. The only
maybe game, the Bears?
Yeah, Bears, yeah.
No, watch, it's going to be Cleveland. Watch, Cleveland's the team that's going to, like, they're going to beat.
I agree. I think so, too. Actually, Cleveland or the Bears?
I actually picked the Texans to beat the Browns, and they almost did. So, that's actually, I would agree with that, too. It's possible. Like I said, I have no faith in the Browns at all. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I don't know which organization. I feel like as an organization, you probably would rather play it for the Jags. But their publicity that would come playing for the Jets. But
listen, man, this guy would
be... That's a lot of pressure, though.
If this guy can turn around the Jets team, bro, and be our first franchise quarterback in however long... The amount of love he's going to get he'll be a celebrity, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know why he wouldn't want to come here.
I don't think he'd care. If you're a top prospect, I don't think you honestly care.
And for the people saying, not going to declare, you're not going to stay in college to... all that money. Guaranteed number one pick, you know.
He's ribbing people. I saw that. I'm like, I didn't see the interview. I just saw him say it. Like, I don't know if he said it on camera, but, like, I saw that the headline, and I'm like, he is just ribbing you guys. There's no way. Even Dabo said that. They asked Dabo. He's like, he's not coming back. Like, he's not.
There's no way.
Like, even Dabo added, like, the last little thing. He's like, well, I didn't think ETN would come back. So, maybe, like, no. Quarterbacks can't. There's no way. Like, ETN came back because, like, I mean, there's, like, it only adds to his stock. Like, I don't.
Man, if the Jets can get ETN too with that second first round pick, oh man,
that's a guy. That's a stud, by the way. Yeah, I would. I would strongly consider that.
If you want to wait till the second round and go after like a Najee Harris.
Yep, that would be my second option. Yep. Listen, man, it's you can turn around an NFL franchise. Look at the Dolphins. It took them 1.5 years to turn around.
Pretty much.
They were awful last year. Awful. And then look at them this year. So, you know, this typical rebuild that people say takes 3 to 4 years, that's not true, you know, these days. You can turn around a team really quick.
You can't. It's a big part of the organization has to be a part of that, too, though. Like, I think,
Your situation, yeah.
The
Texans are screwed. The Texans, like, a team like them, they have no cap space, no draft picks. The Jets, they have all the draft picks, all the cap space, so, you know, they're going to have a hand-picked head coach, so
with the town. I mean, when you look at the Texans, like their only option would be to trade Watson for like several picks, which I don't think that's going to happen because they already signed him to a big deal. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, it could. We've seen crazier things, but I don't see how you sign him and then trade him. I don't know. I just don't see it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where he goes. I mean, this is going to be the battle. The tank Lawrence is how it goes. So. Well, the only one that looks like they're actually tanking is the Jets. Like, the Jags don't even look like they're really tanking, but I guess they're just as bad. But
you too, man.
All right. Well, anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening to episode 40 of YWC Football Talk. Phil, it's always great having you. Danny, you're welcome back anytime, man. Whenever there's time to get you on, man, I'll just slide into your DMs and make something work.
Awesome, yeah.
All right.
You know, Dan goes ham, baby.
Dan goes ham. Follow him on Twitter, guys. Anyway, guys, we'll see you later, guys. We're already at almost like 50 episodes. Holy shit. But anyway, guys, good night.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.